The month of June has been hijacked by the anti-Christian culture to show their pride in something God calls an abomination. When you support AFR, you help us continue to stand for godly values and provide the resources for you to stay in the know about the enemy's tactics. To say thank you for your gift this month, we'll give you the booklet, Inside the LGBTQ Push of the 1990s, to help strengthen your convictions. Just go to afr.net/offers. afr.net/offers.
Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues. That's the name of this program here on this Monday, June the 2nd, 2025. Thanks for listening to American Family Radio. Joining me in studio is Ed Battagliano. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
And Fred Jackson.
Yeah, welcome back, Tim.
Thank you. Good to be back.
Vacation?
A little family vacation last week.
A little vacationing?
With the fam.
With the fam.
With the fam. We went to the beach. We're beach people.
My wife and I, we're beach people.
Yeah.
Some people like the mountains. Yeah. To me, the mountains are like Brent Creeley, our producer's nodding. The mountains are awesome for about 30 minutes.
And you have to drive up them and drive down them. Right. Yeah. Right. I love looking at the mountains too, but you're right. But now as far as going and letting the grandchildren just play.
Yeah.
Throw them on the beach.
Oh, man.
You sit in your
chair. They got sand. They got water.
Right.
There's usually a pool nearby.
That's right. That's
you don't
right.
have to worry about black bears coming down out of the mountains.
Everybody's happy.
Yeah.
Everybody's happy. Anyway, good to be back in studio, and summertime is here. Is it officially summertime, Fred? I think it is.
No. And
21 of June.
Yeah.
About another 3 weeks.
I haven't understood that. When it gets to June the 21st, they'll say this is the official date of summer, start of summer.
Yeah.
But it has to do with the equinox,
Tim.
Okay.
That equinox will get you every time.
And that's what they go on. It's something about the moon, right? Isn't that the equinox?
The moon and the stars and the
sky up above.
Can you tell?
You're in vacation Bible school mode right there. You are. Anyway,
summer's been underway.
Throw that out. People consider summer starting Memorial Day weekend.
Because kids are out
a lot of times.
There is a scientific explanation.
How is that, Fred?
Well, the northern hemisphere is kind of leans towards the sun to a point, and then it starts
reversing,
leaning away. So when it's at its maximum lead towards the sun, you get the longest day.
Which is June the 21st.
It's like the sun comes up at 4:30 in the morning or whatever the 5 or...
Yeah,
and then it leans away until December 21st, and then it starts leaning back.
Gotcha.
Now, it doesn't actually, I know you're not implying this, it doesn't wobble on its axis and lean away.
No.
You're talking about as it is tilted, as it spins and goes around.
As the world turns.
around the sun, the way it's leaning is either towards the sun where we get summer or away. And what's interesting is in the southern hemisphere, it's opposite.
Yes.
Boy, that is so interesting.
It was.
It was.
And you see how
you put it.
How I piggybacked off Fred actual scientific knowledge.
Yeah, there is a scientific explanation June the 21st to consider the first day of summer. And that's the reason.
I had a trip once to South Africa, Johannesburg, in July. So boarding the plane here, of course, is just so hot here.
Yeah.
But by the time, like about 18 hours later, when I got to Johannesburg, it was jacket and cap time. It was so cold.
Because it's winter there.
And it's weird. Like there was frost on the ground the next morning.
Ooh.
And, you know, you have to check yourself. This is July. I had turned the heat on in the hotel.
Everything's opposite in the, Australia.
Yes. Yeah. So if you're looking for coolness in July,
go to South Africa.
Go to South Africa.
Yeah.
And get murdered.
Oh, man. All right. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. What's our first story, Fred?
Well, Tim, as we have been reporting now for many months, have anybody had any doubts about the level of anti-Semitism in this country? I think for the last year, year and a half or so, we have been educated. First, we were shocked at the level of anti-Semitism on university campuses, Harvard, Yale, Columbia. Last week, Tim, when you were away, we had the tragic story of two young people. They were at a Jewish museum in Washington, D.C. They both worked at the Israeli embassy in D.C. They were coming out of a social event at the museum, and a man just came and gunned them down, really assassinated them. He is in custody. And then and to the broadness of this, in that it's not one isolated area of the country. Yesterday in Boulder, Colorado, you may not have heard of this because a lot of people are just finding out about it this morning. In Boulder, Colorado yesterday, there was a demonstration by a fairly small group of people. They have been doing this for some time, demonstrating to draw attention to the hostages still being held by Hamas. This group, they're out at a park area in Boulder, Colorado. A man emerged. He had what police are describing as Molotov cocktails and kind of a crude flamethrower. And basically, he started throwing those Molotov cocktails. He started with this crude flamethrower. Eight people are in hospital this morning. Some of them in very, very serious condition. I want to play you some of the audio. Here's an eyewitness to that attack yesterday, cut number one.
And there was a woman that was burning on the ground. And then we noticed two other people that had also been affected by the burns on their legs. And this man was shirtless and was yelling with some kind of accent and was threatening to burn people.
Now, FBI Special Agent, it's Mark Makalek, also gave a briefing last night. He left absolutely no doubt about what this was about. Cut number two.
Witnesses are reporting that the subject used a makeshift flamethrower and threw an incendiary device into the crowd. The suspect was heard to yell "Free Palestine" during the attack. As a result of these preliminary facts, it is clear that this is a targeted act of violence, and the FBI is investigating this as an act of terrorism.
And the man who has been arrested has been identified as 45-year-old Mohammed Sabri Soliman. He entered the United States on a six-month visa back in 2022 in California. He has obviously overstayed that visa, so he is in the country illegally and from Egypt originally. Katie Pavlich is a Fox commentator. She gave her assessment of things this morning. Cut number three.
This is a case of Americans, citizens in a United States city being firebombed by an illegal alien from Egypt who has Islamic terrorism ties and ideology, exercising their First Amendment rights out for a walk, saying we don't think that innocent people should be taken hostage and they should be released from the Gaza Strip. And this is what we've seen over the course of the past couple of months. We've seen attack after attack after attack. And what is this fueled by? First, it's fueled by an American media, which has been lying and spreading falsehoods about Israel's defensive war against this death cult in Gaza and elsewhere in the Middle East. And also it's fueled by Democrats like the Biden administration who let in people who are anti-American, who don't share our values, and who think the way to settle scores with people you disagree with is to try and murder them.
And just one more development on this weekend. Universities are having graduation ceremonies. There's a graduation ceremony at MIT this weekend. The valedictorian there had handed in a speech for inspection prior to the graduation, but she had another speech up her sleeve. And she tore into Israel. She was very pro-Palestinian. It was, the usual that we have seen from Harvard students, from Columbia students. So as I say, as I started off, the level of hatred for Israel and the Jewish people, if you had any doubt, it has been widely manifested in the last couple of years.
I'm just kind of curious, how did this young lady, what was the response of her peers? Sometimes these young people, if it's a conservative speaker, will get up and walk out
yes.
of a graduation speech or cheer or boo. Is there any idea how they responded to her speech?
Both. Some walked out. Some of the students got up, and some believe they were told in advance what she was going to say, and they start waving Palestinian flags.
Well, I've never seen anything like what's unfolding in our country with the hatred of Israel and now the open hatred of the Jewish people, as if these people who were protesting in Boulder are picking and choosing and making decisions on what Israel is doing. I mean, there's no logical reason if this and the suspect, Mohammed Sabri Soleiman, you know, the immigration issue is kind of a separate one. It's important. But, I mean, there's no logic here. There's just pure hatred. These people were not making decisions on behalf of Israel, and yet he targeted them because they're Jews. I never thought I would live to see this kind of hatred of the Jewish people in this country, but here we are.
Yes.
Yeah. This fella here was, he's Egyptian?
Yes, he is.
In our country. And he's on a, you said a work visa or what?
He was on a six month temporary visa.
But he overstayed it. Now what'll happen? Well, he's been charged now. He'll have to go to.
Yes.
So, I mean, he could be go to prison here in the U.S. Mm-hmm. Anyway, this is on the rise. I'm talking about this anti-Semitism, anti-Jewish, what would you say, actions.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know when it's going to subside, because these people believe that Israel's war of self-defense in Gaza is, they call it genocide, you know. Now, it's not, but they believe that, I guess you would say. Otherwise, they wouldn't be motivated to kill people.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like they did the couple in Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
10 days ago or so.
I don't think it is going to subside. I think there are, I don't think this is just my paranoia speaking. I think there are forces at work in this country that are intent on using division, regardless of what the particular topic of the day is, using division to stir up people who have bought into a certain ideology. Not all of them have bought it into it on college campuses, but a lot of young people have. But there are other ways in which people have become radicalized. I just think this is going to continue. We saw with the George Floyd divisions and the riots, and that settled down. Now it's all about Israel and Hamas and the plight of Palestinians. I don't think this is going to settle down. I think they have to, the forces who want to overturn our Constitution, I think, and using cultural Marxism, I think they will continue to try to find something. And this is the topic of the year, I guess, for them, until they can find something else.
Yeah.
It's one of the other aspects of this, and I know there are people investigating this. When the riots broke out on the campuses within 48 hours after the Hamas massacre, October of 2023, a lot of people noted it was very well organized right away. Also very well funded. And the question is, where are the funds coming from? And that's why some people were really upset in the last couple of weeks when Trump went to the Middle East, but he visited Qatar, or Qatar, as some people say. And Qatar, people need to be aware that they house, allowed to live, Hamas terrorist leaders in that country. But also, Qatar has been known for some time as dumping a lot of money into our university campuses. and using the financial influence to promote the Palestinian cause versus Israel. I think it was Mark Levin last week really had some strong words about the idea of Trump visiting, praising the Qatar leadership. There are a lot of problems. And among other things, accepting that airplane.
Yeah. All right. So the reason I say it's not genocide, as the political left says it is here, most of them, a lot of them at least, in Gaza, is genocide. If you define genocide as ethnic cleansing, basically you're going after a group of people because of their race or their ethnicity to get rid of them, like the Nazis did with the Jews in World War II, with the concentration camps, for example. If that were the case, then the Israelis would be attacking all Arabs.
Right.
Okay. Well, 20% of the population of Israel itself is made up of Arabs, and they're not being attacked or targeted for, you know, annihilation.
Right.
So it's not genocide. It's a political war between Israel and Hamas. And Hamas is a terrorist organization. The political left, a lot of them would say, well, so is Israel, because they kill innocent people in Gaza with their bombs. Well, we've been over this before. It's complicated because Israel, if Israel doesn't fight in Gaza to find out the bad guys and take the rockets away and all that, then they're gonna potentially suffer annihilation themselves.
Right.
So, and it's unfortunate, tragic that the war has to be fought with civilians dying. By civilians, I mean non-combatants in Gaza who are Palestinian people, women and children, who, you know, don't have a weapon in their hand. But nonetheless, Hamas is their political organization, and they build tunnels under hospitals and under mosques, and they hide behind women and children. And so when Israel has to go and try to get these people, unfortunately, you know, people die, and then they are used as, hey, look what Israel's doing,
right,
to innocent people. So,
well, Germans and Japanese civilians also died in World War II, as did Russians by the millions when the Nazis
attacked. Yeah.
Innocent civilians frequently die in a war, and that, to your point, is not the same as genocide. And in reality, if you don't want your citizens to die, then you don't invade.
What Hamas did.
And in Hamas's case, if you don't want your civilians to die, then don't invade Israel. And once you're done and Israel starts to fight back, then surrender.
Yes. Yeah, and you know, yeah, we soon forget, a lot of the media and political lefties in this country don't want to recall what happened on October the 7th, 2023, right? 2023.
Yeah. Yes.
When those Hamas fighters butchered 11 to 1200 Israeli citizens on that bloody day in Israel. And that's what started all this, as far as the intense fighting going on even to this day.
Right.
All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Next story, Fred.
Well, in some parts of the country, school is still wrapping up. Some parts of the country, school is out for the year, our high schools, mid schools. But in some parts of the country, they're just wrapping up. And last weekend, this just past weekend, in several states, there were high school track and field championships. Now, normally that wouldn't garner a lot of attention, but in several states, and in particular California, it got a lot of national attention. Now, why is that? Because there was a competitor in track and field events in California. His name, this is girls' track and field championships, his name is A.B. Hernandez. Now, he became a, a subject of interest last week. Even the White House got involved with this because he was winning the lead-up events to the championship. And President Trump and others were saying, wait a minute, this is not right. The Civil Rights Division of the Justice Department, we're going to investigate this. Well, California's response to that threat last Friday was, well, we'll let more girls compete against A.B. Hernandez, as if that is going to make things fair. Well, if you go to AFN.net, you will see a picture of the winning podium. And front and center in that picture is A.B. Hernandez. Because he's a boy, he cleaned up again. Now, needless to say, people like Riley Gaines, who has been fighting this idea of having males in women's sports, she had this comment this morning, cut five.
It was not just California this happened in this past week. This happened in five states. Boys taking a girl's rightful spot as state champion, qualifying spots, podium spots in California, Washington, Oregon, Minnesota, and Maine. That is five states that have blatantly and defiantly ignored federal law, that federal law being Title IX, and of course, Donald Trump's most recent executive order.
Washington, Oregon, California, Minnesota, and Maine. What do they all have in common?
They're all blue.
All run by Democrats.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the Democratic Party seems to be doubling down on this issue, and I say go for it. All right, because this is not something that makes sense to the majority of people. And by the way,
as Fred, vast majority.
The vast majority.
You say?
By the way, as Fred mentioned, this story and the one we just covered are both at AFN, American Family News, AFN.net. But that AFN story says that a recent AP NORC poll found that about 7 in 10 U.S. adults think male athletes should not be allowed to participate in girls and women's sports at the high school, college, or professional level. And roughly half of Democrats agree with that, 9 out of 10 Republicans. This is not a winning issue for Democrats, but they are treating it as if it is.
Yes.
It is a hill to die on for them. And all things being equal on other issues, this may be a hill that they die on,
yeah,
politically speaking.
Because let's remember, the victims in this story are girls who come from Republican families, from independent families, from Democrat families.
Right.
The girls are being defeated. They're losing out on scholarships. This is costly in more ways than one for these girls. And it's amazing that we have Democrats who are out there. They used to be the champions of women and girls. Not anymore.
I don't understand why they're sticking with this issue. Most Democrats don't want to talk about it.
Right.
Because they know it's not a winner. It's a complete loser. That is the issue of boys playing girls' sports because they call themselves a woman. But they also don't have anywhere to go because they're kind of boxed in by their own arguments, right?
Yes, and their own declarations going throughout the Biden administration,
right,
but even before that.
Right.
If you say that a woman can become a man and vice versa, to the extent that you don't even want to admit that only women can have babies.
Right.
All right?
Right.
You want to defend that, and you've made those statements in the past. What do you say now?
Right.
You say, we changed our mind.
Remember Joe Biden's nominee for the Supreme Court, Ketanji
Brown Jackson.
Brown Jackson infamously said that when asked by Marsha Blackburn, the U.S. Senator from Tennessee, in her hearing, do you know what a woman is, or can you define what a woman is? And the Democrat Biden appointment said no. I'm not a biologist. I don't know what a woman is, even though she herself is a woman.
And was being declared the first black woman,
right,
on the Supreme Court.
Right, right. And she said no, but she didn't know what a woman was. That's like saying to me, I don't know what a tornado is. Do you know what a tornado is? And my answer is no, I'm not a meteorologist.
Yeah. No, let's stay outside, folks. I can't tell if that's a tornado,
right,
until we get a meteorologist,
right,
out here.
Right. So that's... The left gets trapped in their own arguments sometimes. We'll be back momentarily. Stay with us.
This June 24th marks 3 years since Roe versus Wade was overturned. But here's what you may not know. Abortion numbers have surged to a 10-year high. The battleground has shifted from the courtroom to our homes. Today, over 60% of abortions happen through the abortion pill, taken in silence, often alone. Preborn network clinics are standing in the gap, meeting women in their most desperate hour. And here's what they're seeing. Young mothers, terrified and misled, are delivering their babies, tiny, perfectly formed, onto bathroom floors. These precious babies, once called just tissue, now lie lifeless. 11% of these women who take the abortion pill will suffer serious health complications. Countless others carry emotional scars for a lifetime. When you give to preborn, you're not just saving a baby. You're saving a mother, too. You're giving her hope, financial support, and the truth. Preborn has already rescued over 350,000 babies, but there are so many more who need our help. Your tax-deductible gift makes this mission possible. To donate now, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby. Or go to preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@AFR.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at AFR.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR. Tim, Ed, and Fred, hey, we're going to take a trip to Israel in March of 2026. We are also going to Greece. Now, those are two separate tours. The Greece one we are calling the Footsteps of Paul trip, which Walker Wildman and Wesley Wildman, my two sons, will lead. And then my wife and I, Allison and I, we will be leading the tour of Israel, as we do annually, most years, and have been doing that for over 25 years. So I can just say this, 25 years from now, I won't be doing them.
Huh? Hopefully somebody, 5 years from now, won't be doing them.
If I'm still here, somebody wants to roll me around but those cobblestone streets in the old town, in the old city of Jerusalem are not very conducive to those.
By the way, when you were talking about who's going to be going along with you, if you and Allison had had one more boy, you could have said, my three sons.
Duly noted.
Yeah, because you said my two sons.
And my three sons.
You could have said my three sons.
Yeah.
Nice boomer
that's right. My
reference.
Three sons, the legendary television program of the 60s there. But anyway, so we're going to the Holy Land. We're going to walk where Jesus walked. We're going to see the land of the Bible. If that's something you want to do, you can go to wildmangroup.com for the itinerary and the cost and any information you need to know about those tours, Wildman, W-I-L-D-M-O-N, group.com, W-I-L-D-M-O-N, group.com, and check it out. Again, that's in March of 2026, and we've already got people signing up for both of those tours. You can do both of them if you want to. You can go with us to Israel first, and then we will transport you to Greece and pick up that tour. It begins right when the Israel tour is over, the day after. So you can do both if you want to, but that's going to put you gone like 14 days from home.
Right.
But a lot of people maybe would say, hey, if I'm going to go to that part of the world anyway, I want to do both of them back to back. So, all right. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. To review some of the stories we covered the first half hour was the assault in Colorado, Boulder, Colorado, by a man at a pro-Israel rally. His name was Mohammed Sabri Solomon. He was an Egyptian here on a work visa. Is that right?
Yes, an expired work visa.
Expired work visa. And they were having a rather small gathering in Boulder for people who wanted to show support of Israel, like Americans do for all kind of causes. This guy shows up with a flamethrower and
Molotov cocktails.
Yes, other weapons. and starts attacking these folks, these people who are just wanting to have a peaceful rally. And can you imagine how terrorizing, well, any kind of weapon, but somebody come at you with a flamethrower? Huh? So the guy to me, he's shown shirtless, and I don't know, he's a wild man out of control.
He was screaming challenges to the. I'm really surprised. I don't know what the law is in Colorado, but that strikes me as being a state maybe where you are allowed concealed carry. I'm surprised nobody shot the man.
I mean, that's a good point.
He's burning people. And
yeah,
I'm not sure if we know, has anyone died?
Not confirmed, but one of the victims, at least one of the victims, was 80 years old.
Yeah. So I'm surprised nobody just ended this guy in order to protect other people. But
The other top story we covered was
Boulder.
In several of these blue states, these heavily Democrat states like California, Oregon, state of Washington, I'm forgetting the other state or two, where they are allowing in high school boys to say they're girls and then compete against the girls in athletics at a high school level. And they're having state championships now across the country on schools that, most of the states have already completed that because they've had graduations and so forth. But some of them still, whose high school year extends into June even, are having their state championships. And we're seeing story after story about how males are putting on some makeup and saying they're women, and then they're just beating the girls because they're men, they're males, with bigger muscles and bigger lungs and bigger bones. And so guess who wins in that?
Right.
So I don't know what they're going to do in these states, because President Trump vowed, to the extent he does have control over some of the money that goes out from our federal government, that if this was allowed to happen, that is boys competing in girls' sports, he would cut off federal tax dollars. Under the Title IX program, is that what it was?
Yeah.
So how if it's actually going to happen, I think if President Trump has anything to do with it, if he can do it, I think he will. So that remains to be seen how this will impact. And there's a lot of outrage, as you can imagine, among the parents of the girls.
And the girls themselves.
And the girls themselves.
Standing up.
In Oregon, the two girls in a track meet lost to a transgendered person, and they refused to stand on the podium with the boy who calls himself a girl, because they felt like they had been cheated, and I agree with them. Right. So we'll see what happens with this. This is a loser politically for Democrats. They would hope that this would all go away. I tell you what's going to be a game changer, pun intended, I guess. It's at one level when you're talking about high schools in blue states, because most of the blue states, with the exception, I guess, of the parents, they don't really care about some issues like this. You let a man say he's a woman and start winning in professional tennis and destroying the girls, and then you got big monies involved.
Right.
I'm surprised this hasn't happened yet, and it will happen. Or in golf, if you have a male start competing against girls in golf, and he drives the ball 300 yards and they drive it 200, well, you can see how that's going to go pretty quick.
Right.
So, but if one of these transgendered people, once they figure out, hey, I can make a money off this, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Then what about they start playing team sports like
WNBA?
WNBA, or males start wanting to play college softball, that girls play. Any of them.
Listen, there's professional. There's a women's professional hockey league.
Okay.
You wait till some girl gets hit by a guy saying he's a girl, and she gets thrown into next week.
Right. Right. So I'm saying what I think this argument is going to be ramped up. I guess the political left in this country hope that doesn't happen. But you start having a man play professional women's hockey or professional women's basketball, or especially a sport like tennis, where these girls are superstars,
right?
And they start getting a guy would start beating them, and then lefties would be stuck between: do I cheer for Serena Williams?
Right.
Of course, she's retired. But do I cheer for somebody like Serena Williams, who is a good role example to young women for athletic achievement? Or do I cheer for the dude who's beating her?
Right.
Because I want to support the transgendered movement.
It's a no-win situation, culturally and politically, for the left, yet they appear to be insisting on fighting on this hill.
Right. All right, next story, Fred.
Well, we've grown somewhat accustomed in our coverage of the Ukraine-Russia war. It seems that Russia is always doing the most damage. Those are most of the stories coming out of that war over the last 3 years. Tragically, it is Russia, just devastating news for the Ukrainians. Well, it was a different story on the weekend, and I was shocked when I heard this. Ukrainian forces destroyed billions of dollars worth of Russian bomber aircraft. When I saw the headline, how in the world did they do this? Because the Ukrainians have been suffering, certainly in personnel losses, and they didn't seem to have the equipment. Well, I was doing a little bit of reading on this. The Ukrainians, apparently this was extremely well planned, used what's being called kamikaze drones. They apparently hit these drones in tiny buildings, and then they put the buildings on the back of trucks. And then these trucks drove over 2,000 miles in some cases into Russia. And so these drones are remotely controlled. And I think there were four Russian air bases. When these trucks got very close to these Russian air bases, they went into these remote controls, the Ukrainians did, and they destroyed, I think it was 40 or 41 of the Russian warplanes.
A lot of them are strategic bombers that can carry nuclear weapons. Russia and the U.S., have what's called a triad of nuclear deterrence. So they have ICBMs, intercontinental ballistic missiles. They have submarine-launched ballistic missiles. And then they have bombers, long-range bombers that can drop nukes. And so this was one leg of the triad. And this was all done. The world is changing. It's changing rapidly with new technological developments, including drones. But these are what's called FPV. They're first-person view drones piloted remotely by individuals wearing goggles, virtual reality goggles. And this is extraordinary. I don't think Ukraine's going to like the pushback that Russia sends their way, but this was extraordinarily brash. And I don't think a lot of these bombers were sitting out in the open, because they are thousands of miles inside their own border.
When you say bombers, excuse me, but you're talking about the Russian aircraft.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm sure they thought they were safe, and they didn't expect these drones to be carried inland with 18-wheelers. And then launched remotely.
Yeah. So you're saying Ukraine drove 18-wheelers trucks to...
With these little buildings on the back of these flatbed trucks. And the drones were hidden inside of these buildings.
You mean like little
sheds,
like tiny homes type things.
Sheds.
Well, yeah. some of them were looked. So like they looked the innocent. Regular.
They looked innocent.
Yeah.
Not non-suspicious. Although yes. In war you probably suspect anything. So they drove them inside Russia.
Oh yeah, deep inside Russia, to get close. Wow. To four
thousands
air bases
of miles from the That's front lines.
I'm shocked that they were able to do that.
Well, they probably took this has been planned for like a year and a half.
Yes.
Something crazy like that. So I'm sure they had Russian IDs. Russian license plates on the trucks, and then they got close enough to the air bases, and then they, I guess from within Ukraine, they then piloted these drones and struck the vehicles. Some expectations and estimates are that they hit 34% of, this is a CNN article, 34% of Russia's strategic cruise missile carriers at its main air bases, an estimated $7 billion in damages.
The AP reports that the raid was unprecedented in its scope and geographic reach, targeting bases in Russia's Arctic, Siberia, and Far East, more than 4,300 miles from Ukraine.
Yeah. The world is changing rapidly. Well, we heard about during this war between Russia and Ukraine, the tanks were being knocked out by these drones. And of course, then the forces like Russia, they started putting cages on top of their tanks to protect them from the drones. We're getting close to science fiction land in terms of the way warfare is changing.
You did mention something that now the question is, how will Russia strike back? Because I know that a lot of people have said we're on the verge of a nuclear war. And that's, it is true. Russia has nukes.
Yep.
And other countries, some other country. I mean, you look at what happened in India and Pakistan.
Yes.
Don't they both have nukes?
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's a very dangerous world we live in. All it takes is one bad decision or one decision on the part of somebody who's, doesn't care about the ramifications, only wants to get revenge, then you could start something that gets out of control,
I would not be surprised to see Russia detonate a probably smaller yield tactical nuclear weapon on Ukrainian forces. Just to let them know, you pull a stunt like this again, and next time it's Kyiv or Kiev.
Right.
I wouldn't, because this is humiliating for Putin and Russia, and they're supposed to be having talks Istanbul.
Diplomatic talks? Not
they already had those?
Not Putin and Zelensky, but representatives.
Yeah, right. They met today. It's wrapped up now. But they did meet today. So in the wake of this dramatic bombing by the Ukrainians, they were meeting in Istanbul today.
Also, this gives the Ukrainians, I don't know about you call it an upper hand, but it levels the playing field, so to speak, for them, because now, everybody says, well, Russia's, most everybody that at the beginning of this war thought Russia would take over within weeks,
right?
Would just steamroll into Ukraine and take over. Of course, that didn't happen. Here we are, 3 years later, and they're still fighting it out, and Ukraine's holding its own, so to speak. And now they've gone on the offensive, and they've done a major operation inside Russia. I'm just saying that this may cause Putin to come to the table and want a ceasefire, or else he may get hit again with something like this. I don't know.
Well, that's why I am fearful for Ukraine, because I don't think politically Putin can allow that to happen. So
you mean without a major response?
I think he's gonna escalate matters. I'd be shocked if this brought Russia to the table. I think what Russia is gonna do is escalate to a point where even the rest of Europe is going to be shaking, simply because if nukes are used, in Europe. Of course, it's the first time ever in wartime since we detonated two in Japan to close out World War II. We've had just the threat of it.
Cold War with Russia?
Yeah, but no hot war. There's always been the threat of using nukes, and I don't want to see that happen in Europe or anywhere else.
Yeah.
Because the potential for escalation or even a world war to break out. How does NATO respond if they if Russia detonates a nuke in Ukraine? That's not an attack on a NATO country, but what if the radioactive cloud floats into Poland and people are made sick or die there? And this is
scary. What if it floats back into Russia, though?
Yeah, could on that,
they're,
too.
They're border countries.
Yes.
Russia and Ukraine.
Absolutely could do that.
So, all right, you're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Next story, Fred.
Well, back home. On Friday afternoon at the Oval Office, Elon Musk had his last day heading up the Doge team. He had 130 days, I think, was the contract that he had. Now, the Doge team will continue looking at areas where, as they call, waste, fraud, and abuse, looking at those things. But Elon Musk has been in the news for some other reasons lately. In the wake of the big, beautiful bill passing through the House, Elon Musk doesn't think it may be big, but in his mind, it ain't beautiful. Cut number six.
My frank opinion of the government is that, like, the government is just like the DMV that got big. Okay, so when you say, like, let's have the government do something, you should think, do you want the DMV to do it? I mean, I agree with much of what the administration does, but we have differences of opinion. I don't want to, speak out against the administration, but I also don't want to take responsibility for everything the administration is doing.
Specifically, what he's not happy with, the big, beautiful bill, really doesn't do much in the way of saving the American taxpayer much money at all, as it stands right now. And so basically, I think where Elon Musk is, look, President Trump, you brought me in to cut back on this waste and fraud and abuse to save the American taxpayer money. But this bill, currently now being looked at in the Senate, where there are some Republican senators say, no way, he doesn't like it.
Well, yeah, I understand how Elon Musk feels. I mean, he's spent whatever it is, 6 months, and now this 6 months trying to cut government waste, and here it is, the Republicans, President Trump, are wanting to pass a big piece of legislation which only increases, I don't want to say necessarily waste, fraud, and abuse, but it's a big, it's a bill that only expands the role of a federal government in terms of debt and debt increases and spending. Am I right?
Yeah, the debt ceiling is hiked.
Yeah,
is raised by a Republican bill. And I was looking at a story involving Senator Rand Paul. He said he would support the so-called big beautiful bill if that hike in the debt ceiling was removed. And he said, otherwise, the GOP will own the debt, he said, once they vote for this.
Okay, a couple of things here. And this kind of topic is really boring to me. Okay, I'm just going to tell you. Because we talked about it for years.
Right.
And the old expression, it is what it is,
yeah,
applies here, and there's nothing going to change it. Nothing going to change government spending and American federal government borrowing money beyond to pay for the cost of government beyond our means. That's going to go on and on and on and on until a economic 9/11 happens.
Right. I agree. Okay?
I don't know when that will happen or if it will happen, because there's a lot of people, myself included, think it would have happened by now. We're at $37 trillion of debt that will never be paid, that this bill that the Republicans themselves are promoting And they used to be the party, they Republicans, of balancing the budget and government, reduced government spending. I'm going to rabbit trail just a minute here. I think the Republicans gave up on that idea for the most part, except you got a few holdouts like Rand Paul, is because they recognize that the American people don't care about that either. The American people don't want to hear, the American people, most of them want to hear about fiscal responsibility, but they don't want to hear about cuts in programs to make that possible that might affect them or somebody they know or somebody's got a job with the federal government or something like that. They don't want to hear that. So you kind of want the old cake and eat it too. That's the American voter, okay? So the politicians, this is my take on it, are only going to respond to the pressure of the public. The last time we had any pressure to do anything to bring some fiscal responsibility and, quote, balancing the budget was during the Tea Party movement. And that was a big movement for 2 or 3 years. But eventually, those people who were elected during the Tea Party movement went to Washington, and they got trapped themselves and basically became part of the establishment, if you will, in terms of no more resistance to...
Or they were shut out by...
Or they were shut out.
By the Republican establishment.
Yeah, and they just... Anyway, so I don't... And quite frankly, President Trump, he didn't run on balancing the budget.
Right.
He is a big spender himself, okay?
As the majority of Republicans are.
Yeah, so, I mean...
Both parties.
So it doesn't surprise me that there's only a few who want to do anything to stop this bill. But anyway, we'll be back momentarily after this timeout. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.